Get your Bibles, Galatians chapter 4, Galatians chapter 4, and I know you're tired, I'm tired, I know that your brain's a little tired, mine's very tired, but I want you to follow along with me tonight. I think when I get done tonight, you'll understand, I got to be careful how I word this, a little more of why our church is the way it is. I'm not talking about how fun and the silliness and things, but where we stand and why we are what we are. And I think this will help you understand things in light of Scripture. So let's jump into this. Galatians chapter 4, verse number 9. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather known of God. Now watch this next statement. How turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements whereunto you desire again to be in bondage. Mark that part of the verse. We're going to be on that. Now watch this. You observe days and months and times and years. Look at me. That means this. They were going back to the old Jewish and Judaism and Passover and special days and holy days and different things. Verse 11. I'm afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as ye are. Ye have not injured me at all. Ye know that how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first. And my temptation, which was in my flesh, ye despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Where is then the blessedness ye spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? They zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you, that ye might affect them. But it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you. Now, look at me if you will. We sinful humans have a bad habit of having bad habits. We really do. We're very good at creating bad habits. The longer we have a bad habit, the harder it is to break that bad habit. It doesn't matter if it's smoking or drinking or picking your nose or different things that we do. A bad habit is a bad habit, and the longer you have it, the harder it is to break. Now listen to me, I need your brains. This is why some people say that alcohol and nicotine are a disease. That's a lie from hell.
Amen.
Lying is not a disease. Lying is sin. Say, how do you overcome lying, preacher? Tell the truth. That's the simplest way to overcome lying. How do you overcome smoking, preacher? Don't buy them.
Amen.
Same thing with alcohol. And before you do either of those, sit down, bow your head and say, Dear Lord, bless this cigarette or this alcohol to the nourishment of my body so that I can go out and tell others about you. I'll guarantee you won't put it in your mouth.
Amen.
Say, preacher, I couldn't do that. That's why you can't overcome it. You don't need a 10-step, 2-step, 3-step, 12-step program. You just need one step. It's Jesus. Now, listen to me very carefully here. This is why people do things for decades and die of cancer and other diseases. Look how much money we spend on bad habits. Now, we convince ourselves that these bad habits may hurt others, but they're not going to hurt us. Please don't get mad at me. But there's no person in the United States of America in the last 50 years that can tell me they didn't know that cigarettes weren't going to give them cancer.
Amen.
You can't tell me, well, they didn't tell me, and I just didn't think it was going to happen to me. You can not think it all you want, but guess what? You suck on a cancer stick, you're going to get cancer. It's just the way it is. If you drink a bucket of vomit, you're going to get the flu. Say, well, preacher, okay, what's the difference? Suck on a cancer stick, get cancer. You say, preacher, that's kind of okay, but you got the point. This is why we go back to it over and over and over and over again. Now, unfortunately, and this is, we're going to pivot into the Bible study from this. Our minds tend to do the same thing with spiritual things. Many have grown up or come from, and I'm going to use this word in air quotes here, from churches that were not right doctrinally. We see people get saved, but they want to bring part of what they came from into the church. They bring their old religion into the church. This is where churches begin to decay. So, well, it's just one thing, preacher. Now, listen to me. I need you to listen to me so that you don't get my attention. So pay attention. This is where churches begin to decay. God never changes rotten to good. But, or let me say that again. Good never changes rotten to good, not God. But good can be touched by rotten and begin to rot faster. You put a good apple in a basket of bad apples, it's not going to change all the bad apples to good apples. But the good apple's going to rot quicker. So the good will not get rid of the bad. Now watch this. The bad apples will cause the good apples to rot. This is why I'm against public education. Putting good people in a bad system is not going to make the system good. Now, some have no option. I get that. Some, I even counsel to stay in it if they're working in it because they're close to the end of retirement and they've worked hard. Just endure. But I'm here to tell you something, and not every public education system is exactly like I stand up here and say, but they're headed that way. And I've been saying it for 25, 30 years. I want you to look at Galatians chapter 4 again, look at verse number 9. The Bible says there towards the middle of the verse, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage. These Hebrews had been saved out of the false religion of Judaism. Now, they're wanting to keep some of the practices of Judaism in the New Testament church. Look what it says. You observe days and months and times and years. Well, I always enjoyed this time of the year with the old religion, so can we do that here in the church? And I enjoyed this holiday. Can we do that here in the church? And I like how this made me feel, so can we do this in the church? And we've brought false religion into the church. Just because somebody wanted something that they liked from old religion to bring with them. Now, hang on. They wanted to be saved, but they wanted to hold on to their false religion of Judaism, their Jewish ways. Now, we need to let the Bible be the guide for the church. The old King James Bible, 1611, right there, that is all you need for the church. We don't need the church doctrine. We don't need Baptist distinctives, and I'm not against people teaching on those things. But what you need is the Bible.
Amen.
We don't need traditions. We need the Bible.
Yes, sir.
We don't need teachings from our past. We need the Bible.
Amen.
I'm going to make a statement here. Hang on. Denominations are actually created by people holding on to some of their past teachings and things that they like from one religion to start another. Baptists are not Protestants.
That's right.
The Protestant Reformation in the 1500s, 1519, 1525, somewhere in there, Martin Luther went to the Vatican and nailed his thesis to the Vatican door, claiming that he was breaking away because he had some discrepancies with the Pope. Martin Luther wanted to be his own Pope. The Lutheran Church started in 1525, and that started the Protestant Reformation. Did you know that Martin Luther killed more Baptists than the Pope did? Had him burnt to the stake. Had him killed. Now watch this. After a period of time, the Methodists, the Presbyterians, Church of God, Church of Christ, Pentecostals, others, they all broke away. The Episcopal, Church of England, the Orthodox Church, all of them broke away from the Catholic Church and the Lutherans. That's why in the book of Revelation, the mother of harlots is the Catholic Church. That's why all of the harlots are the Protestant churches. Everybody doing okay? Hang on. I'm about to lay the foundation and knock the tree down. What they did was, Luther wasn't for some of the things the Pope did, but they kept infant baptism, salvation by the church telling you what to do. The Methodist, John Wesley. The word Methodist was actually a slang term used because he believed there should be certain methods used to run the church. Now you have several different branches of Methodism. Used to have the United Methodist Church, then you had the Independent United Methodist Church, now you got the United Reform Discombobulated Rainbow Church. Well, they just had a big revival in Kentucky just in the last couple of years. That was not a revival meeting. That was a union meeting about who was going to own the property for the Methodist Church, and there was a big fight over it. It wasn't a revival service. Everybody doing okay? Don't believe what the press told you. Now, the church, listen to this statement, is not to be about what we like. The church was paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. The same price that bought your salvation bought and paid for the church. Now watch this. So what I want out of the church does not matter. I didn't pay for it. He did.
Amen.
What Jesus wants for the church is all that matters.
Yes, sir.
Everybody doing okay?
Right.
Now, I'm about ready to teach here. Point number one. The church is full of people from a diversity of backgrounds. People get saved and join from all walks of life. How many of you were Catholic at one point in time in your life? Raise your hand. There you go. How many of you were Methodists? Several of you. How many of you were Presbyterian or Lutheran? Raise your hand. Had a few of those. All right. Some other denomination or religion. Okay. Many other, Hebrew. He was a Jewish Catholic. He was really messed up. Now, I say that to say this. Look how many diversified things we've come from. Now, some come from strong denominational roots. Some come from no church roots. How many of you really didn't go to church much at all? Yeah, there you go. Yeah, Hmong was just a heathen. That's why she married Wiley. 35 years, isn't it? 30? Yeah, it seemed like 75 to her. Yeah. Some came from other countries in false religion. There are people here that have been involved in that. And we are constantly adding a new influx as people join our church. Now listen to me very carefully. I get it that we don't always do the same thing you did in the church you grew up in. There's a reason. Mostly because we're following that book, not what a church says. We don't have to have a meeting of the Cardinals or the Cubs or anybody else every few years to decide what church doctrines we're going to have. Some of you got that one by slow freight, all right? Shoo! Y'all are really tired tonight. We don't have to have a book of church doctrines. I know somebody that sits in our church. They went to a denominational theology school. And there were people there that didn't even, they've never read the Bible. And they're going to be the next ministers. They knew what what their church doctrine book said. And everything was based on that. But most of them didn't even know the books of the Bible. Had never even read the Bible all the way through once in their life. You say, preacher, yeah, those are the ones leading churches. Imagine how bad it is for the church members. Now, adding people from all over and all these different influences is not a bad thing. It's just like America. Adding it isn't a bad thing as long as you do it the right way. I'm going to blow my stack for about 60 seconds. There's no such thing as African Americans or Irish Americans or Polack Americans or Italian Americans or Mexican Americans or Puerto Rican Americans. You're an American or you're not. Leave your country flags alone. Pick up red, white, and blue. That's what it is. If you become an American, you are to disband from your former country anyway and adhere to the Pledge of Allegiance to the United States of America. So why do we even want to break this thing up any farther? Just thought I'd throw that in there. So, the church is full of people from a diversity of backgrounds and all backgrounds of life. How many of you got saved as a child? Raise your hand. Some of us. How many of you didn't get saved till you were an adult? Raise your hand. Yeah. How many of you maybe a teenager? All right. Some of you were involved in what some would call bad sinful habits. Drunkenness, adultery, fornication, drugs, whatever. I'm not asking anybody to raise their hands. All right. I know enough and nobody else needs to know anymore, all right? Now, wait a minute. You take that diversity and put it into one room. That's a hodgepodge. And that could cause problems if everybody wants something from their past to be brought in. That's why your past isn't the standard. That book is the standard. The traditions you like, sorry, don't matter. What he said matters. Yes, Jesus said, upon this rock, I'll build my church. Right. Jesus was baptized by a man named John the what?
Baptist.
That wasn't his last name. Amen. And for over 300 years, the only church there was a Baptist church. Wasn't until 330 that Constantine started the Catholic Church. Now, you can say what you want. That's fact. historical and biblical. Acts 20 says that Jesus purchased the church with his own blood. The very blood that bought our salvation gave us the church. Just like we shouldn't fiddle with salvation, we shouldn't fiddle with the church. Now, number two, the church then must let truth or the Bible be the basis for all that it does. Traditions are man-made. We're not to add our favorite things to our church. I mean, I'm going to pop a gasket here, Brother Jim. That's what a community church is all about. Let's just let everybody in and believe what they want and hold hands, and let's just all get along. That's those people that sing the same words over and over and sway while they do it. The song that does not end. And there's no music. I mean, they're playing whatever they want and all their rock band junk, but there's no Holy Spirit in it. Amen. Well, I can feel something. Yeah, but it's not the Holy Ghost. Everybody wants to bring their own thing. Come as you are. No. I believe we ought to give our best. Culture does not change truth. Did you know that 2 + 2 still equals 4? Brother Jim, I know you're a few years past 90. But guess what? It hadn't changed in 93 years, has it? 2 + 2 is still 4. Guess what? I don't care what the public school says or any other teacher or professor, that if you can logic it out to be something else, that it's right. The new math. Now, hang on for a second here. What are they doing? They're changing truth. They want truth to fit their culture. No, culture is supposed to change to fit truth. You see, we need people to follow truth as God wrote it, not as culture wants to interpret it. Now I'm going to get myself in trouble. That's why we need to go back to the Constitution and live it as it was written, not as we want to interpret it. It's called original intent. We have destroyed the English language to where there are people in this room that if I taught you what the Civil War started about, you would call me a heretic. Civil War had absolutely nothing to do with slavery. Amen. Nothing. Had everything to do with states' rights versus federal rights. By the way, the word slave in the 1800s does not mean what you label it today. A slave was a live-in employee. My dad, I've heard this story from my dad, my uncle, my grandparents. His grandmother was alive during the Civil War. Her grandmother, or my dad's grandmother, they grew up with a mammy. A black slave who went through the Civil War. Now watch this. When given a chance after the Civil War to go free, she said, I don't want to go anywhere. I got a house. I work with these people. I love these people. I'm not going anywhere. By the way, Reconstruction, that's why Reconstruction was a failure after the Civil War. Let's give all these slaves 40 acres and a mule, and nobody wanted it. They wanted to go back and work for the people that they came from because that was the work they knew and they loved working there. Don't you believe the rewritten history? Everybody doing okay? And I could go on and on for hours on that. I'm not going to. We've got to get to the Bible. We need to let the Bible, by the way, The Bible is the written word of God, correct? And in the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. Which means Jesus, who is the word of God, ought to be the leader of the church. So we ought to use his words, not man's words. That's why the issue of the right Bible is an issue. Without the right Bible, you don't have the right church. So, I got 18 minutes. Listen fast. What does the Bible say a church is? It is an independent, local assembly, not a denomination. The word church is the word ecclesia, and it means a called out assembly of believers. We are called out of the world to assemble here, separate from the world, not to be like the world, but to be like what God wants us to be.
Yes, sir.
Notice something. The Bible talks about churches, not just the church. Now, if it's talking about the church in Jerusalem in the book of Acts, it's because it was all written about that church. But it talks about the churches of Galatia, Thessalonica, and Smyrna, Thyatira, and they went out and built churches, not denominations. Now listen to me very carefully here. It's a local assembly. Okay, Brother John C's over here in Maryland, over in the Frederick area. He's an independent Baptist. That means this. We don't have any headquarters that we answer to. Neither does he. Do you know I have no say-so in how he runs his church? And he has no say-so in how we run our church. If I want his opinion, I'll ask. If he wants my opinion, he'll ask. Till then, we stay out of each other's business and we're happy. It's real simple. The independent Baptist church is just that. It is independent. That means we don't have a conglomeration of people that are running the independent Baptists. There's a group out there that hate my insides. They think that independent fundamental Baptists is a denomination. They try to treat everybody the same way, and it's not. I have no say-so in anybody else's church. Zero. Unless the pastor calls me and wants my opinion. And even then, it's just that, my opinion. Whether he uses it or not, up to him. I don't have any jurisdiction over anybody else, nor does anybody else have jurisdiction over us.
Amen.
Everybody doing okay? So what is a church? A church is full of saved and baptized believers. Turn to Acts chapter 2. We're going to just take a few verses tonight. Acts chapter 2, look at verse number 41. Look at verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word, that's getting saved, correct? Were baptized. After you get saved, the first act of obedience is baptism. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Mr. Schofield's wrong when he tells you that the church began in Acts chapter 2. You can't add 3,000 people to something that's not already there. Where did the church begin? Matthew 16, Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Look down in verse number 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the what?
Church.
Daily such as should be saved. So they were added to the church. That's people getting saved, getting baptized, and joining the church. Now, people joined it. They didn't just attend. Number next. People went to church. What did they go to church for? Why was it there? Go to Acts chapter 2, back up to verse 42. And they, who are they? The 3,000 that got saved and were added to the church, right? And everybody else that was at the church. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Now I want you to notice the four things. Doctrine. They were there to learn the doctrine of the Word of God, the Bible. They were there to learn the Bible. That's why I believe Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night is vital to a Christian. I believe it with all my fiber. You say, what else? Fellowship. Oh. The church is for fellowship. This is where your best friends should be. This is where a place that ought to be happy, not a morgue. I love this church because it's loud, it's noisy, it's people that are happy, it's people getting along with one another, it's people teasing one another, like I did somebody before church tonight. I won't tell you who it was. But for fellowship. Then it says, for breaking of bread, that's the Lord's Supper. It wasn't just to eat, it was the Lord's Supper, the breaking of the bread. And then lastly, praying together. It's a place to come and share your requests with one another and pray with one another. I've been in some churches, and I'm not against this, but hang on, there's a reason I don't do some things, because I've been around the block a few times. Amen. I grew up in an era where they used to have what they call prayer chains. It's all it became was a gossip line. Somebody would start saying, well, pray for so-and-so. And by the time it got to the end, it wasn't nothing like what it was started off as. And then it became everybody called each other to tell them the local gossip. And I've been in churches that have Wednesday night prayer time. I'm not against it. But then they'll read 411 prayer requests, take another 20 or 30 from the crowd. You came here to get encouraged, not find out how bad everybody else is. And then let's break up and pray with each other. And you didn't get any encouragement. Everybody see where I'm headed with this thing? I'm not against having prayer requests. But I'm not about to take time away from teaching the Bible and depress you with everybody else's problems. Just because somebody's toenail's half off and somebody else's gizzard's not right, and this person's got bunions and this person's got onions that didn't settle, and you got all these other things. Can I tell you something? We go through all these things and they print the same prayer sheet for every week. And, you know, you just keep, okay. And I've visited churches like that. Let's all break up and pray. And my wife and I are sitting there going, time to leave. I feel really out of place right here. You say, you wouldn't do that? I have. You say, why? Because nobody wanted to pray with us. And I'm not against praying. Believe me, that's what men's prayer breakfast is for. That's what other things are for. But can I tell you something? Share our requests amongst each other and go on. So the church was for learning doctrine, for fellowship, for the Lord's Supper, and for praying together. By the way, that's why we have a Christian school. So our kids can learn and fellowship. The word fellowship isn't just partying. It means work. So they can have the right atmosphere as they do their work and their schooling. That's why we have activities for Sunday school classes. And Brother Anthony goes out and just about loses his life playing with bulls at the county fair. I told my wife, if he gets hurt, I'm going to kill him. I thought, no, Kator will kill him first. Now, wait a minute. I get it. And I'm for all those things. But a party doesn't make a church. It's to add to it. Now, I've got to hurry. This is where the rubber meets the road. It was also a gathering place to go out and witness to others. Go to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, look at verse number 5. I'm going to read quite a few verses here, and then I'm going to throw a fit for a second. We're going to read a bunch more verses and be done. You ready? Look at verse number 5. For John truly baptized with water. Baptized with water for what? To join church, right? But ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When ye therefore were come together, church, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, they beheld he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then they returned unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew and Philip and Thomas and Bartholomew and Matthew and James the son of Alphaeus and Simon the Zelotes and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplications with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. That's the church, the upper room. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of the names together were about 120. The church that Jesus built was about the size of our church. That was the upper room. It was to that church they added 3,000 souls in one day. Can you imagine what they had to do for a building program? I imagine what they told the county was much different than I had to tell them. Now, let me jump into this real quick. Independent Baptist is not a denomination. We are just that, independent. Some Baptists, listen to this, have added traditions and things to their church and have become their own denomination. There are Baptist denominations. Southern Baptist Convention, American Baptist Convention, Northern Baptist Convention, GRBC, General Association of Regular Baptists, Free Will Baptists, Primitive Baptist, those are the weird ones. Those are the ones that handle snakes. And many, many, many more. They've taken things from others as tradition and culture, brought it in and said, let's make our own brand of this, and we'll pool our money and our schools and everything together, and we'll do this. That is exactly opposed to what an independent Baptist church is. They've all gone against the Bible. By the way, listen to me really carefully here. Most every one of those denominations of Baptists that I listed don't use the right Bible. They have to change Bibles to get their traditions. They have to get away from Bible doctrine. Well, I'm not getting away from the Bible. We're getting more of it. God tells us what he wants for his church. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. Right after the book of Galatians. Ephesians chapter 6. That does not look right. Ephesians chapter 5, I'm sorry. I knew I wrote something down wrong. And when it came out of my mouth, I knew it wasn't right. Ephesians chapter 5. Now listen to me. Many times we use part of this chapter in reference to marriage. I'm going to read all of chapter 5 to you very quickly. I want you to follow along, and I want you to understand something. Ephesians chapter 5 is all about the church. Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Didn't he pay for the church? But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather given to thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Why in God's name then are we bringing their practices into the church? Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Now notice it's talking about evil things there. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. There used to be a Baptist church in this area. They're no longer, fortunately, they took the name Baptist off. They put their name Bible on it instead. They now teach that it's okay to drink alcohol as long as you don't get drunk. Because Jesus turned water to wine. Boy, did they take that one out of context. Verse 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Notice it's now talking about what kind of music to have at church. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the what? Church. And he is savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the what? Word. That he might present it himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself, for no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. I believe the strongest marriages are going to be in the church that preaches the word of God. I believe the strongest parenting and child rearing will be in churches that preach the word of God. But we've got to do it God's way, not our way. Well, when I was a kid, but it's not in the Bible, don't worry about it. Just because it was there as a kid for you doesn't mean it was right. I know preachers that have changed. Just because they were a good preacher 20 years ago doesn't mean they're a good preacher today. Be careful. Say, well, preacher, how do I know? Ask me, I'll tell you. I may not tell you what all they're doing wrong, but I will tell you whether you should or shouldn't. Say, why? Because I don't need to bring up all the nastiness. But you've got to realize that's what God wants for the church. Ephesians chapter 5. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 1. Galatians chapter 4. Why turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? I love the deacon board in our church. They're good men. Yeah, except Scott. No, we've got great men, but nowhere in the Bible does it say deacon board's supposed to run church. Nowhere. Matter of fact, they didn't even come on the scene until Acts chapter 6. I guess until a church got over 3,000 people, they didn't even have a deacon. Now, we have to have board members in America for financial purposes. I get that. But they're not to run the church. That's what God gave me the responsibility for. I thank God for a group of wise men, not just wise cracks, but wise men on our deacon board. Yep, it's true. But can I tell you something? I thank God for their wisdom. I'll borrow it. They'll help us. They'll guide us. They've saved us problems. And believe me, I'm for it. But they'll tell you they don't run the church. I shouldn't have to get six guys together to figure out how many rolls of toilet paper we can buy this month. Or what type, yeah, or what type of flowers get put on the Lord's Supper table. Yeah, take them down. Now, wait a minute. I know churches that the pastor can't even blow his nose unless he brings his own Kleenex. And then, if it's not the right kind of Kleenex, they're going to have a committee meeting on it. I love what Brother Hiles used to say. A camel is a horse that a Southern Baptist committee put together. And that's about truth. Folks, let's run it God's way. I'm not a dictator. Promise you that. But I will tell you this. We're going to say, where's it at in the book? And if it's not in the book, we're not going to do it. Amen. Just because everybody else is doing it doesn't make it right. Well, they have a big crowd. You, I've seen piles of cow manure draw a crowd. Doesn't mean I want to step in it. Just because it draws a crowd doesn't make it right. Folks, right there. Let's not turn to the weak and beggarly elements whereunto we desire again to be in bondage. Let's come out of that. Let's do it the way he wants it. The preacher, why is our church the way it is? You just heard it tonight. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. I'd like to talk for about another half hour, 45 minutes, but there's no need. Maybe we just ought to thank God for what we do have. And let's commit to making it what we are. Let's join up. Let's be a part of it. Let's take part in it. Let's be what we should be. And let's do what God says in his book. We'll follow it word for word.